Look at Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. You bring a Bible to church. If you did, open it to the second chapter, book of Hebrews. We're going to read the first verse as our passage to read this morning. We're going to be looking back at chapter 1 and then right down to chapter 2, verse 1 today for our message. So let me encourage you, if you have a Bible, to get it open. Keep it open throughout the message. And if you don't have one, just look on with somebody nearby or listen quietly. It won't be hard to follow along this morning. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. We believe with all of our hearts that we have the Word of God to English-speaking people in our hands this morning. A correct Bible doesn't need to be bettered or made more easy to understand. That King James 16:11 is the Word of God for today, English-speaking people. So we're glad to have God's book in our hands this morning. Chapter 2, verse 1. And our Bible says, if you'll follow along, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now I'll read it again. Why don't you read it with me this time? Chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read together. Ready? Read. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. My dear Father, speak to our hearts this morning, please. I pray, oh God, I know you'll do your part, Lord. I know that you'll open our eyes so that we can behold wondrous things out of your law. But Lord, it's up to us to come with a spirit and a heart ready to receive it, what you show us. So may we prepare our hearts, even throughout the song, as these folks sing in this prayer time, these moments before we hear preaching. I pray that you'll please, Lord, help us to be ready to receive it today. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
I think of the day I met Jesus. He gave me a reason to sing. For everything changed in a moment. How I praise Him, my Savior and King. Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished away. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross. Yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven, my guilt was all gone, transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. When everything changed in a moment, moments of
salvation, He will take all your burden away.
Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished away. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross. Yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven, my guilt was all gone, transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. When everything changed in a moment, moments of time. Everything changed.
Everything changed
in a moment of time.
About, hello, there we go. Shouted about the change that happened when God saved me 32 plus years ago, and I haven't got over it yet. Amen. That's wonderful. And by the way, when you get saved at that age in life, there is a change. Amen. Now, 6-year-olds don't give up too many bad vices. And 10-year-olds, you know, they're not getting off crack cocaine. But you get saved later on in life when you've had a little bit of time to kind of set your way. If there's not a change, I got to question salvation. That's our truth. It's too big, folks, not to be changed. It's too big. It's too unbelievable. That's a wonderful, wonderful song for us this morning. Good words, good singing. Thank you for that, folks that practice the time you put into singing and playing, and all of our people that provide special music. That's a blessing. I want to speak to you today on the subject of slipping. Slipping. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Slipping. And I like those, I don't really like those three words in there, but they're powerful words. At any time. can happen to anybody, anytime. Slip in. That happens suddenly, doesn't it? Happens quickly. You can slip on the ice, hurt yourself, be in trouble. So let me talk to you this morning on the subject of slipping from this passage in the Bible. Dear Father, thank you for the great change that took place in a moment of time when you saved us. And Lord, thank you for that change. Oh, what a life. What a life now compared to what it used to be. Lord, thank you for saving boys and girls at age 6 and 8 so that they don't have to be a part of that kind of life. You save them not out of it, but from it. And I'm glad for that. Thank you, God, for saving grace today. If it needs to be delivered to somebody's heart and soul in this room, I pray there'll be enough Holy Spirit influence in this room today that somebody could be drawn to Christ. I pray that us believers, those of us already saved, would hear your word today. And through the blessing and work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, be drawn to truth and learn something. Help me, I pray, give myself to you. Lord, a new year, first Sunday, we need your help. Bless us today. In Christ's name I ask, and amen. A few weeks ago on a Friday, Brad Cranston, my brother-in-law, married to my wife's sister, lives out in Burlington, Iowa, pastors the Heritage Baptist Church. He called me, or I think he called the house. I forget who took the call first. But he said, I'm on the way to Washington. That's where my father-in-law, his father-in-law, Joyce and Heidi's dad, lives. He said, I'm on the way to Washington. He said, Dad fell, and he is hurt. And so I'm on the way to the hospital. And so, of course, we began to make phone calls back and forth, you know, keep us posted. How bad is he hurt? What happened? We didn't know if he hit his head, if he broke a leg. We didn't know what happened. So we're trying to find out. We can't get a hold of John. But Brad's on the way. We're trying to call people. We finally learned the extent of the injury. And he fell just boom right on his shoulder. And that's his hook arm, the one that he lost the arm, this part of it, you know. And those of you that have got to know him. And he shoved the ball up into the socket and fractured it. And I mean, it was the most horrible looking thing I'd ever seen when I finally saw it at my niece's wedding. Oh, just purple. And I mean, just horrible. And so we finally found it out. And then we began to, you know, okay, how did this happen? He slipped. He and Steve Epley. The Epleys were here singing a couple years. They need to get him back to sing again. He and his family were here singing some years ago. He and Steve Epley were out making a call or two on church prospects. And he got out of the car and he walking across the ice and he slipped. slipped right off from under him. And I mean, he didn't have time to, you know, catch anything, catch his fall at all, to break his fall. Just boom, right down on that shoulder and just bad. How many times do you hear those words when someone is describing how somebody got injured? An injury occurs to somebody. Now, how did that happen? Well, he slipped. She slipped. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you cautioned someone with the words, be careful, now you don't want to slip? We've said a lot of that lately. You know, warmed up Friday, but then it cooled off enough Friday night. Saturday morning was treacherous. I mean, you didn't know where you could step and where you couldn't step. Out visiting yesterday, you had to be careful every step because some places were slippery and some were not. So you warn somebody, be careful. Hey, watch your step. You don't want to slip. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, we have such a warning from God. Hebrews chapter 2 in verse number 1. Hebrews, let me tell you just a moment about Hebrews itself. Hebrews was written to Jewish believers who were now New Testament Christians. We would call them Messianic Jews. Jews who have trusted in Jesus Christ, have received Him, accepted Him as the promised Messiah, the anointed one of the Old Testament prophecies. God the Son and the Son of God, one and the same. And they put their faith and trust in Jesus. A lot of the Jews, you see the pictures of the Jews and the Orthodox Jews at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And they're going through all those motions and their prayers and putting the little prayers in the cracks on the Wailing Wall. And you ask, basically, bottom line, if you say, what are you doing? We're looking for the Messiah. We're waiting for the Messiah. Our Messiah is coming. They're not saved. They're unconverted. Messianic Jews, people, Jews who have been saved. I've never won a Jew to Christ. I've only met one Jew, one saved Jew. That was on an airplane trip back from Sacramento, California. When I got bumped up to first class because of an airplane. Was the only time I've ever flown first class. I sat beside a Messianic Jew. Now, he was there all the time. Amen. I mean, that's where he rides. He owned his own business. His name was Steve Fingers. It used to be Steve Finger Lady, and he dropped the lady part and so forth and so on. And I rejoiced. We had a wonderful flight, 4 hours to St. Louis, talking about Jesus. I mean, brother, he was a born-again believer. This is the people that Hebrews is written to. All right, it's Messianic Jews, and now they're members of a New Testament church, and probably they're in Jerusalem. And Hebrews is written to those Jews to show them conclusively. I mean, they've already believed, but just here's some ammunition for your belief. Here's some credibility for what you believe. Give them conclusively the evidence that Jesus is the Messiah and that Jesus is better than all the things they had previously held dear. Jesus is better than the law. Jesus is better than the tabernacle. Jesus is better than the Old Testament economy. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than this. Jesus is better. In fact, the key word of the entire book is better, and specifically, Jesus is better. And he still is, by the way. And if you're not a born-again believer, I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile, red, brown, yellow, black, or white, doesn't matter about the pigmentation, the color of your skin. If you're not a born-again believer, let me tell you, Jesus is better than what you're trusted in to get you to heaven. In fact, he's not only better, he's the only way to heaven. He is the answer to a better life, too, while you're on your way there. Amen. He's better. Now, he comes to chapter 2, verse number 1. So you got the setting of the book. I could go into more detail. That's very simplistic. And that's okay. That's all we need. Very simplistic for the book. That's what it's for. He comes to chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. But that's not the first word in that verse. The first word in that verse is the word therefore. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. The first word is therefore, because of what was said before. Because of what was already said in chapter 1, if you will. Because of what we've said from the beginning of this book right here. Because of what was said before, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. So the question is this, if you study the Bible, this is how you study it. It's not rocket science, folks. You don't have to have a college degree. In fact, it may help you not to have a college degree. You can study the Bible on your own. The word therefore is said because of what's come before. What has come before? Chapter 1. What is chapter 1 about? What does it say? Well, look with me. Look at chapter 1, verse number 1. Look at the very first verse of the book. He says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The writer of the Hebrews said, God used to speak to us through the prophets. Different times and manners, okay? He spoke to us through the prophets. Then he says in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He said God used to speak to us through the prophets, but now God has spoken to us through his Son. God has spoken to us through the words of Jesus Christ. God has spoken to us, wait a minute, not just through his words, but through his deeds. Oh, both his words and his deeds. In Acts chapter 1, don't turn to it, verse number 1. Luke wrote to Theophilus and he said, these things began Jesus both to do and teach. Do and teach. You see, it's important. We learn from both what Jesus did and what Jesus said. And the writer of the Hebrews said, in times past, God has spoken to us through the Old Testament prophets, but now in these days, God speaks to us and has spoken to us through Jesus Christ. Look at what it says about Jesus in verse number 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Do you understand that? Do you understand that Jesus Christ is the express image of God? Your people say, well, what is God like? Like is some mysterious, spooky, wild, mystic thing. That's the word I was looking for. What is God like? You know what God's like? Take a look at Jesus Christ. It's not spooky. Jesus Christ is the express image of God. He is God. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us.
He's God in the flesh. So the writer of Hebrews is saying here that God, who used to speak to us through the prophets, now speaks to us through His Son, through Jesus. He speaks to us through the words of Jesus. He speaks to us through the deeds of Jesus. Then you get to verse number 4, down through verse number 14. And I'm not going to break this down verse by verse. If you look at me and just listen, you can look at it this afternoon. What happens in verses 4 through 14 is this. The writer of Hebrews tells us how much better Jesus was, is, than the angels. Now you say, okay, why does the writer of the book of Hebrews take the trouble to establish the fact that Jesus is better than the angels? Because how many times when you read the Old Testament do you read the words, and the angel of the Lord said? And the angel of the Lord spoke to. Angels were used by God to deliver His message to people. All you got to do is think a little bit if you know the Old Testament. Abraham. Hagar. Just read that this week. Hagar's out in the desert with Ishmael and weeping. I mean, cast the boy over there and left to die. And the angel of the Lord speaks to Hagar. The angel of the Lord spoke to Lot. The angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and Mary. Over and over again, the angel of the Lord came and brought messages to Gideon, to other judges, prophets, priests, and kings. So listen, Jewish people held the angels in very high esteem because they brought the message of God many times to people from heaven to earth. But the writer of the Hebrews says, wait a minute, I know it was good. The angels of the Lord in the Old Testament day were used to bring messages to people, to Abraham, to Lot, to Hagar, to Gideon, to Mary, to Joseph. The angel of the Lord came and came and came and came with messages. But I want you to understand that God has done better than that now. God has improved on that now. There's something more credible now. There's something more substantial now. It's Jesus. Jesus is better than the angels. Almost like God's taking it to another level. God stepped it up, sent Jesus. Not only did Jesus speak, He lived it. There you go. It's one thing to say it. And the angel of the Lord came and they would deliver the message and then they would go. But Jesus came and for 3.5 years publicly and 33.5 years in the life of his earthly life, He lived truth. Are you with me this morning? He exhibited truth day in and day out. He took a group of 12 men and then expanded it to 70. And then multitudes followed Him. They scrutinized Him. They watched Him. They listened to Him. They tried to catch Him in His words. But they could find no fault in Him whatsoever. He's the express image of God. I mean, that's pretty good, folks. Amen. This is what God is saying here in this passage. Jesus is better than the angels. So, because God has spoken to us by Jesus. Because God has spoken to us by Jesus, who is better than the Old Testament prophets, who is better than the angels that would bring the messages from heaven to earth. Because God has spoken to us by Jesus. Because Jesus has come and taught and lived. And we have those things recorded for us on paper. Because we have Jesus. Because God has spoken to us through Jesus. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I'll boil that down to right now, to January the 6th, 2008, for every born-again child of God in this room. You know what that means? That means the teaching and preaching from this book right here, the reading I do from this book, everything that comes out of this book right here, where Jesus Christ spoke and lived and taught. And by the way, this whole book from cover to cover, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, is about Jesus Christ. We ought to, you say, yeah, I want to give the more earnest heed to the things that I've heard, but I haven't heard anything lately. You're not going to hear an angel speak from heaven today. It's not going to be written in the sky. No pamphlet's going to and land at your feet. God's message to you. That's not happening. You say, where do I hear from God? Right here. This is where you hear from God. This is what he's talking about. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We need to pay attention to what we have heard. Why? If we don't, those things will slip. You see, friend, the phrases are opposites of each other. If we give the more earnest heed, these things will not slip. If we don't pay attention, if we don't give heed to the things that we've heard from this book, they will slip. You understand? The two go together. They're opposites, but they're connected. In other words, if I will pay attention, these things won't slip. If I don't pay attention, they will slip. There's no neutral ground. Are you listening this morning? It's warm in here to me. Brother, I don't know if it's warm in here to you or not, but it's 50 degrees outside, 60, so I'm kind of moving around and excited right now. Maybe I'm warmer than you. But if you're comfortable, it's all right, Brother Joe, if everybody's comfortable. You comfortable this morning? Good. All right. I don't know if that's good or not. I'm going to talk to you about slipping. Let me say three. That's the setting of the passage. That's the setting. That's what it's all about this morning, this passage right here. Now let me say to you three things this morning about slipping. Number one, slips are unplanned. That's why it's called a slip. I'm going to go out and slip on the ice. No, you're not. We're going to put you in a rubber room in a white jacket. You don't plan a slip. You know, that's what happened to my father-in-law. He slipped. It was unplanned. That's why he didn't catch. He wasn't ready. He didn't catch himself. Boom, man. Crushed that shoulder almost. That's what happened to him. Nobody plans to become a nominal Christian. You say, what's a nominal Christian? One in name only. Let me give you a good example. You're at work, you know, and somebody goes, hey, that guy's a Christian. He is. He cussed a blue streak the other day. He was all the time gambling, playing poker with the guys. Got pictures up on the wall over there. He shouldn't have it. That guy's... You see, folks, not everybody who says they're a Christian is one. And you got to be careful. Nobody plans on becoming a nominal Christian. One in name only. I guess you can be saved and not have the life to back it up. Nobody plans on that. Nobody plans to become a statistic. Nobody plans to become a castaway. I'm telling you this morning, there are people who started out in 2007 practicing their faith, believing in truth, and they ended 2007 living a life that lines up with unbelievers. They didn't start 07 by saying, that's my goal. By the end of this year, I want to be so far away from God that I look like an unbeliever. What are your goals for 07? Be as far away from God as I can. Nobody says that. Nobody plans on that. But you tell me, why does that happen? And you know that happens. No plans were crafted to digress spiritually to that degree. What happens? Truth slips away. Why does truth slip away? Because we don't pay attention. We don't give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Let me ask you a question this morning. Let's ask us all a question. Where will we be 360 days from right now? I don't mean where will you be living. I mean where will you be spiritually? Will you slip away? Will you let the thing slip? That's how it happens. Nobody plans it. You've heard people say, well, he slipped up and said, you know, you ever had a surprise for somebody? You could print all the little flyers. Don't tell. Shh, it's a surprise. Don't tell it. But then, you know, inevitably somebody what? Slips. Oh, yeah, I'll see you Saturday. See me Saturday. Oh. And then you try to back out of that thing, you know. Oh, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. See you Sunday. Yeah, that's it, Sunday. Hey, slipped. Nobody planned to do that. You don't plan to slip away spiritually. Nobody plans to slip. Slips are unplanned. Number two, action must be taken to avoid slips. So they're not planned. Actions must be taken to avoid slips. You see, because they are not planned, because they happen so quickly, so unexpectedly, great caution must be exercised. You know, we read the Bible too fast. I want you to look at the wordage in this verse. Look at it. Give the more earnest heed. Do you see that word heed? It means pay attention. Be cautious. Apply myself. See that? It means pay attention, be cautious, apply myself. You know, what happens, you're up here, I'm up here speaking or preaching, you know, or teaching on Wednesday night, and I'll say something like, now listen, I want you to pay attention to this. And you know what happens inevitably? People's heads come up, eyes start looking, people whose gaze has been off, you know, looking up here, just kind of lost. Now listen, I want you to pay attention. Listen, don't miss this. Boy, that's what he's talking about. He. Pay attention. I don't know what to do, folks, because we live in the sight and sound age. And a lot of the mega churches, the contemporary churches, they're going to all the sight and sound. The dancing, the moving, the wild music, and get everybody to try to focus on the message. We ain't going that direction here. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be traditional, old-fashioned Bible preaching. Bring a Bible, open it up. But if you need sight and sound, I don't know what you're going to do. We either train ourselves and discipline ourselves to sit and listen and pay attention and give heed. Listen carefully. Well, I don't know what to do because we're not going that direction. I'm not going to have things bouncing off the wall and firecrackers and bottle rockets here to just keep everybody, hey, look at this. You know, I'm not going to go on a pogo stick jumping around here. And it's not my type of preaching to walk the pews and all that. Some people do. That's all right, but that's not me. If I got to walk the pews to keep your attention, what am I going to do when I hit 65? That ain't happening. Heed. That's what he says. Heed. Heed. I want to tell you something. You know, I'm not ready to really make definitive statements about this, but I've been studying and reading in the Bible a little bit recently about the spirit of slumber. It's a spirit. Kind of the psalmist said, I quoted it in my prayer to God this morning, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thy eyes, God. I want to see it. Help me to see it. Open my eyes. And you contrast that with the spirit of slumber. God gives people. God gave His people, the Jews, the spirit of slumber. I mean, it's a spirit that seeps over a group of people, a group of believers, a family, an individual. My eyes are open, but I'm not seeing anything. My eyes are open, but I'm staring off here, looking down here. Not listening, not paying. He said, what is it? Spirit of slumber. Spirit of slumber. We have to avoid that. Open my eyes, God. Heed. Show me I'm listening. That's what the word means. Pay attention. When you are in, you know, you pay attention. When you're in danger, you pay attention. Tell me when you're out driving in bad weather, if you're not more alert than when the roads are clear and dry. I've used the illustration before. You know, I deer hunted, and I learned, essentially there's not really any dangers in whitetail hunting with bow and arrow. Maybe the most dangerous thing is getting up in and out of the tree stand. You got to be careful. A lot of folks fall. And when you get in the tree stand, you got to harness in and be safe. But I'll never forget the first time I went bear hunting. You make a move in the deer stand, the deer run away. You make an aggressive move by accident in the bear stand, they're coming after you. And one did come to the, you heard that story, came to the bottom of my stand and stood there. A bear. And so the first time I go, this guy comes, the guide comes into the cabin where all of us are as preachers, and he says, okay, fellas, I want to talk to you about this bear hunting thing. You know how hard it was for me to pay attention? He didn't need any bottle rockets. Watch now. Looky here, we'll talk to you about hunting bear. Bing, bing. He didn't need any of that. He sat in a chair. He said, I want to talk to you about bear hunting. You know what I'm doing? I'm listening. I'm paying attention. What is that? Heed. Heed. But he didn't stop there. That's not all that he said. He said, look, pay attention. He said, give heed. But he didn't say just give heed. He said, give earnest heed. You see that? That means intense. That means fervent. That means, I love this phrase, Webster's Dictionary. Ardent in pursuit. Ardent in pursuit. I'm after it. I'm pursuing. I'm putting my all in it. I'm intense. I'm fervent. It's earnestness. There's an intensity. I'm in pursuit of this. That's how we ought to be when it comes to truth. In pursuit of it. And that's not my word. That's His word. That's God's word. Earnest heat. Is that your spirit this morning? I'm so anxious for the Sunday School Family Bible Hour to begin again because I believe with all of my hearts it has so many things positive that it does for a church family. And I think one of the things it does for a church family, it gets us ready for 11 o'clock. You sit in a Sunday school class and you hear the song, the Word of God, and you sing in fellowship, and your heart's prepared. Now we're just coming in here at 10 o'clock and it's taking 15, 20, 30 minutes to get us prepared. In pursuit, earnest heed. That's the word that He uses here. Pay attention, be cautious, that's heed. And then He says, earnest heed, fervently pay attention, be ardent in the paying of attention. But He doesn't stop there. We read the Bible too quick. He doesn't just say, give heed. He doesn't just say, give earnest heed. He says, give what? More earnest heed. Step it up a notch. Take it to another level. Go over the top when it comes to listening, when it comes to truth, when it comes to paying attention. You say, I need to pay attention to truth. When I know that Jesus taught and preached, when I see how Jesus lived, when I hear what He did, what He said in this book, I need to pay attention to truth. I need to earnestly pay attention to truth. I need to step it up another notch, take it up to another level. I must do that. And you know what happens to, and you know who really has to pay attention to this? Just the ones who've been saved for a long time. Isn't that past tense? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Yeah, I know. I've heard that before. Yeah, I know. I've heard that before. Yeah, I know. I've heard that message. Oh, I've heard this topic before. I've heard that. Uh-huh. It's you and me He's talking to. Those of you who have been saved before and heard it all, you better pay attention, buddy. Why is that? You don't believe there's an enemy out there? You better believe it. I better believe it. Save going on 33 years this October 1975 to 2008. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. 33 years of three times a week Bible conferences, missions conferences, Bible college, chapel every day for 4 years, Monday through Friday, service after service. I've heard it all. And I'm the one who needs to pay attention with all my heart. Or I'm a goner. That's who He's talking to. Pay attention. Give heed. I'm telling you, friend, it concerns me when I preach service. And I understand my voice now has been the same voice from this pulpit for 17 and a half years. I understand that. That's why it's good to have evangelists. That's why it's good to have missionaries. That's why it's good to have outside guests come in and preach from this pulpit. Another voice helps God's people. But we can't do that every Sunday. It's my voice. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you lose interest, friend, we're in trouble. Well, sometimes I get in the prayer closet and I say, Lord, is it me? Am I dry? Am I dusty? Is it old? Just dust it off. Terry Angel again. Lord, is it me? And God rebukes me sometimes and says, son, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And I'm going to tell you something. The congregation has to do its part too. I'll be honest with you, folks. I see people staring off. And I wonder if the spirit of slumber hasn't swept over some folks in this auditorium. Heed, more earnest heed. More earnest heed, that's what He's talking to. More earnest attention, lest at any time we should slip. I said action must be taken to avoid slips. Let me say number three this morning, slips are personally avoided. They're personally avoided. Brother Caleb, if Brother Caleb, if it's Brother Caleb is 89, 90 years of age, and he's walking out to his car. He's walking out to get somebody's car on ice. I can assist him. I can help him. And sometimes people do that to the folks here in the church, the elderly. I see that. That blesses my heart to see people assisting the elderly in treacherous conditions to get to a car. We can do that when it comes to ice. Thank you, brother. Care can be taken to help new Christians. Truth, you know, truth can be preached and people can help new Christians. But I want to tell you something. At some point, and you better hear this morning, at some point you and I are personally responsible. Look at what he says. We ought to give. What does that make it? That makes it voluntary. Right? Anybody, when that plate came down the aisle this morning, did anybody take your hand, force it into your pocket, mash it into the plate? That's not called giving, that's called taking. We use that terminology, so let's take the offering. What if we really didn't take it? Open your purse. I see your wallet, sir. Good, this looks like a good offering today. There we go. We don't take the offering, we what? We give it. That's what? That's voluntary. After so long, folks, you're not going to be able to be helped along in your Christian life. Somebody carrying you through. First of all, people can't be with you all the time. At some point in time, you're going to have to give. Thank you, buddy. You're going to have to give heed. You're going to have to give earnest heed. More earnest heed. You've got to give it. You've got to voluntary. Give it. I get nervous. Let me get nervous, folks. What shepherd wouldn't get nervous when a wolf's out around? And there's a wolf circling the flock always. Do you understand that? Wherever there's sheep, there's wolves. What shepherd wouldn't get nervous when the wolf is circling? Let me get nervous. When I see the sheep, I get nervous. I get nervous when I see the sheep of this flock start to waver on truth, start to waver on what they believe or how they practice. Don't get mad at me when I preach on church attendance. Don't get mad at me when I say, you ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't get mad. Because you let it slip. If you don't do something to pay attention and be earnest about it, it'll slip away. You understand how hard things are to break when they become a habit? Terribly hard. Don't get upset. That's my responsibility. That's what the under shepherd is supposed to do. Don't get mad at me when I preach on. And by the way, the very attitude and spirit of giving more earnest heed goes right along with being in the place where the Word of God is preached and taught every time I can be there. Oh, let's see. Yeah, it's the first of the year. I should have figured we'd have heard something on church attendance on January 1st. I know that's your problem. You've heard it. And heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. And that's the very thing you're supposed to pay attention to. Okay. Yeah. Let me do how much. I see it. I'm slipping here. Slipping. Don't get nervous when I preach on and worry about daily devotions. Don't get nervous about it. Don't get nervous when I preach on Bible reading. Jim Vineyard said, a Christian is capable of doing anything if he's not in his Bible for 30 straight days. Are you slipping? I've heard that. Pastor, I got saved, went to discipleship class. That was the first lesson I heard was reading my Bible. I've heard that for years. I know. That's what you're supposed to pay attention to. There's some fundamental things you can't make it without. Daily devotions, honoring God with a tithe, living holy, being a witness. Hey, it's slippery out there. Are you listening?
It's slippery. The personal responsibility to give more earnest heed. Folks, you hear me this morning. If you're not careful, you will not end 08 like you begin 08. Now you better listen to that. More earnest heed must be given. You know, I might have used this illustration in here before. I might have used it in Providence. I lose track sometimes of where I say stuff. Can you picture in your mind a car on a hill this morning? Can you picture in your mind a car trying to go up a hill? Do you know that you do not have to be in reverse to go downhill? You don't have to be in reverse. Right? All you got to be is in what? Neutral. That's the one I got to be. Neutral. I think it's called disengaged. Is that the mechanic? Is that the technical automobile term? Automotive term? Disengaged? So I don't have to be engaged in reverse to go downhill. All I got to be is disengaged. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you engaged? Are you in drive? Are you in drive? Oh, Pastor, I'm not going backwards, but I'm not in drive. I must admit, man, my devotion life's hit and miss. Church, I've started slipping out here and there. You know, no, but I'm not in reverse. I see you just disengaged. So where are you going to end up? You tell me, where are you going to end up? If you say, well, Christian life's not an uphill run. It's not. That's news to me. See, what did the songwriter say? I'm coasting down the downhill way. New depths I'm gaining every day. Is that what he said? I think he wrote, I'm pressing on the what? Upward way. Somebody thinking out there this morning, yeah, but Pastor, I got you. Because I've been in places in bad weather and icy conditions where I have seen vehicles engaged in drive still sliding downhill. Yeah, I have too. Trying to get to Georgia one year, going through Memphis because everything between here and southeast was blocked off. 16 inches of snow. Trying to get around it. Going down through Memphis, Tennessee, Tupelo, Mississippi, Birmingham, Alabama, get to Atlanta. That's called the long way around, in case you're wondering. Oh, man. That ice was so bad in Memphis, Tennessee, and southern drivers are so terrible on ice. Amen. We can't drive on this stuff, folks. Only thing we know to do is hit the brake. That's all. Mash! First winter up north, I spent more time in the ditch than on the road. Had the tow truck number memorized. Oh, my goodness. And I remember sitting, we were stopped dead still in the southbound lane. And on the northbound lane, there was just a slight incline. And I watched a semi-truck in drive, engaged. But the ice was so bad, it was slipping back. I was just trying with all of this, you know, everything to keep that thing from going down. And you know what? I believe that happens to us spiritually too. Sometimes in drive. It's so slippery out there. There's such a slick enemy. Even in drive, we may lose a few inches. But as long as you're in drive, eventually what? Eventually you go to catch. So what's your point? When you don't feel like going to church, you go anyway.
And when you don't feel like reading the Bible, you go anyway. And I'm waiting for this big burst of zip to live the Christian life. Red zip. Monster spiritual drink. I can stop at the Shell and buy me a can for $3. And zip! Super Christian. It ain't going to happen. You put it in drive and you keep it in drive. You keep engaged. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, when the wind's blowing in your face or when it's behind you, when the sun is shining or when the clouds are so dark you can't see, you stay engaged. You keep it in drive. You don't let it slip. That's a powerful verse right there. Better break that thing down, friend. Michelle Fugit's boiling tea, has a big pitcher of hot water. I told this the other night. Pastor Jeff Fugit's wife, the pitcher breaks. The hot water spills on her foot because it hurts and burns. She jumps, and when she jumps, she slips. And when she does, she falls on her right arm on the broken pitcher and severs every tendon in her arm. That happened a week ago Friday. She's not in danger of her life. She's not in danger of losing her life. But there's just a question now as to how much usefulness she'll have out of that arm. I don't want my usefulness to be in question. I don't want yours to be in question. Because we let it slip. Slip. Are you engaged? I'm getting married in June. Diane, I'm not asking that question, okay? Are you engaged? You in drive this morning? Are you in drive? Spiritually, are you in drive? Some of you are not. Why don't you fess up? Why don't you just admit it? I'm not in drive. I've been in drive for years. I'm coasting. Better watch out for slipping. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Caleb coming to get in place here at the front. Just briefly in the message this morning, I touched on salvation. Jesus is better. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the best God had. And God gave His best when He gave Jesus. He died for you, was buried, rose again from that old tomb to prove that He was the Son of God with power. He wants to be your Savior. He longs to be your Savior. Pastor, pray for me. Let's do this. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Let's just ask you to be honest. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. Pray for me. I'll give a testimony. I'm saved by raising my hand right now. My hand is up. I'm saved and I know it. Please be honest. Thank you. Take your hand down. Somebody said this morning, Brother Angel, I was honest. Didn't raise my hand. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I am concerned about it. Would you lift your hand, please? Let me pray for you this morning. Slip it up. Slip it right back down. I'll see it. If you would, just slip it up. Put it right back down. Anybody like that today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody? Side to side, front to back. I see a small hand. God bless you, a child. That blesses my heart. See the Spirit of God work on little children. Begin to draw them to Christ. How about it, adults? How about it? Are you saved? Born again on your way to heaven? Pastor Angel, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that today? Anybody say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved in deep water. Not been obedient to Christ yet since I've been saved about baptism. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Teenager, man or woman, boy or girl, God bless you. If you know now's the time, the place, to step out and obey the Lord. I wouldn't hesitate. Put it off. If you've got permission, if you're an adult, all you need to say is yes after you get saved. Brother Caleb can help you with that if you need to be baptized this morning. Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. That's a good question. Am I engaged? I'm not in reverse. I don't want to be in neutral either.
Pray for me. I'm slipping. Would you put your hand in the air, please? Put it up, take it back down. Thank you. Somebody else? Thank you. Somebody else? I need to be in drive. Let some things slip. Happened so quickly, so boom. My devotions, my church, my heart for God. Pray for me. Anybody else? I should have lifted my hand, Pastor. Pray for me. Yes, yes. Somebody else? Dear Father, oh God, I'm so thankful You sent Your best, Jesus. He lived, He preached, He taught. Now we know, we've heard, we've seen from Your Word about Jesus, truth, living for You. God, help us not to let it slip, please. Help us to be careful. Keep engaged. Keep it in drive. Press forward so that we won't slip backward. Bless these folks, I pray. Bless somebody here today to just slip it back in drive. Pray, dear God, that You'd help anybody who's not saved to come to Christ, those who need to be baptized to be obedient, those who need to join the church to make that decision. Honor and glorify You with it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, Brother Caleb right here can point you to somebody who can show you how to be saved. We'll have the men and the ladies come who bring their Bibles, and they're ready to help folks get saved if we have anybody that needs to be saved. So as they come, take their place. In just a minute, we're going to stand. The ladies are going to play. If you need to be saved, you come see Brother Caleb. If you need to be baptized, you come see him. If you need just to come pray, the altar's open. Come and slip it and drive this morning.